Father in heaven, we are so blessed that we have health and strength, Lord, and the ability to come together, Lord, to worship Thee together in hymns and to in prayer, Lord, and to worship Thee, Lord, by looking into Your Word and speaking about it in Bible class, Lord, to encourage one another, to reveal to each other through the Spirit, Lord, what Your Word would have us tell on this day, Lord. And we give You thanks that we had the privilege already, the great blessing of looking into an important part of Your Word, Lord. And we pray that You would continue with us on this day and bless us, Lord, and speak to us through Your Spirit, Lord, so that each and every one that has come with different concerns and different needs, Lord, that we all will be fed by a supernatural way, not necessarily by what is said from the pulpit, but by what Your Spirit can say to each of our hearts, Lord. And we pray for those who cannot be here, Lord. We pray for the Marses. We pray for the Mullers, Lord. We pray for those who are unable to come and perhaps wish to come. We pray for those who would have the opportunity to come but decided not to, Lord. We just learned, Lord, that sometimes discouragement, such as the time we're in, may be used by the devil to just lull us into giving up into a way of looking at life as if it were not extremely important to seek Thee, Lord, each and every day, and especially on this day, Lord. And so we pray for a blessing on this entire day, on each and every one, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This Bible class lesson, which I didn't really think, well, I knew it were in Ezra, but I was thinking of this, of the passage I want to read, which is just the book previous to the book we were in. It's a very good segue into it. And it's in 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, so you'll find it very quickly. I'm just going to read it without much of an introduction. I'll try to give a background there later on. But it will not be as Brother Scott's sermon was 2 weeks ago. That was, you know, very theologically challenging. This will be easy, so you can unbuckle your seatbelts. No, I hope it's not going to be just fluff. I hope it's going to be something that speaks to all of us. But just as one thing, Brother Scott had a title, and the title I chose, which may not be the best one, is A Hopeless Situation. And so let's read in chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles, which is very close to what we were just talking about in Ezra. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which is the Edom or Edomites, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us. They come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Ye shall not need to fight this battle. Said yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beraka unto this day. I would like to end with verse 26. We have a situation, and I will tell you that this, it wasn't just came to mind, or it didn't just, I didn't just open up today or yesterday. I saw this passage quite a few months ago when the virus started to come, and I found that this passage kind of describes the situation we are in. As a matter of fact, now, a few months later, at least I don't know what others perceive, but I think we have something more than just a virus. What we see our society disintegrate in ways that really scary. Yeah, and so we not only have the virus, we have a society that it's just coming apart. And what are we going to do about it? It's like the army that came against the Jews, against Jehoshaphat. Insurmountable. They could not really, we could go back in Chronicles here a few pages before. Jehoshaphat fortified the cities in Judah. So he wasn't just sitting there as a king and enjoying himself. He did something really good. But then, even beyond that, let me read in the previous chapter. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in judgment. So here is, not only has he fortified the cities, he actually now is bringing them back into worship that God told them to worship him, not only on a Sabbath, but indeed to do the right judgments, so the people around them, the nations, could see that they are people of God. And so that was he kind of failed later on a little bit too. Nobody is perfect, but he was a very good king. And we see when they had to face what was coming, he could have said, oh, I fortified the cities. Let's gather an army together. I think we can, with the Lord's help, we can fight this off. And I kind of look at what we're doing today. You know, maybe the virus we could fight off, maybe. I'm not even sure of that. If they can come up with a vaccine. But can we fight off the decay of our society? I don't think there's anything I know what I can do about it. I don't think we as a nation can really do much about it. As people of God, in the nation, I think it's too late for that. I think the only thing we can do is what Jehoshaphat did. He goes in front of the temple, and he just pours out his heart. He acknowledges that they're at the end. And it just, I wish I would have a map here I could just show you, but maybe you can just think of the map in your mind. When you have Jerusalem, it's north, pretty much north of the Dead Sea, but much further up, much higher up. But from the Dead Sea to Jerusalem, it's roughly 3,800 feet. And Ammon is just on the other side of the Dead Sea, on the north. Moab is just a little bit south, maybe a little bit in the middle of the Dead Sea. And those two, at least I'm reading this, perhaps into it, but those two nations wanted to go against Judah. The normal way for them would have been to go up from Jericho up to Jerusalem. If they would have done that, Israel probably would have had a chance to stop them. If you remember perhaps the videos, there is a very narrow way at times, very, very narrow, going up from Jericho to Jerusalem, and it's 3,800 feet. It would have taken maybe 100 soldiers to stop this big army. So what they decided is to go through Edom, which is exactly in the south of the Dead Sea, and then go up on the other side of the lake to En Gedi, and from there is a wide open area where they could go up, and I don't think the Jews could have defended that area, not against a big army of three different countries. And so we kind of just visualize that. They had really no hope. And yet God orchestrated something. And I'm, you know, and the reason why he did that is for his glory, because he told them, you know, when he kind of recited Solomon's famous passage that was read many times in the last few months. And that's in 2 Chronicles as well. And we all almost could recite it. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's pretty much a prayer that he kind of recited. Quite a few services probably use this passage to say, okay, maybe if we repent, we, the people called by his name in this country, things can be turned around. I don't know. We certainly should pray for that, just as the Jews did, as Jehoshaphat. We need to pray that God will, you know, turn this away from us of what is coming, especially the unrest we have, especially and it was there before, but the decay of our society has been going on for a while. It just now shows up. It just pops up, and we realize how close we are to losing what we had for 200 years or more. And so when I was looking at those verses, I kind of wondered: is that what God is hoping for? So that the church would get together again and we could have a revival in this country, and things would change. And to me, it doesn't look like it, but then they had the same problem. The armies were just too great. They could not fight them. God had to do it, and God can do it again. But I was thinking of a different passage as well that may have a different sense. That came in Hebrews 12. Don't know exactly where I should start. Let's start with verse 25 in Hebrews 12. It says there, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Now he's talking about, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the Jews that heard God on Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb and it turned away. And so he's warning us today that we should not turn away. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signified the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." When I read that, I figured, this is speaking to me. It may speak to the people of God in this country as well, but it speaks to me more so than the miraculous salvation that we are all praying for. Because even if things are going as maybe we fear they may be going, God always has a purpose in whatever he does. And perhaps the purpose is to have things shaken off in my life, perhaps in your life, that shouldn't be there. So that what is left is going to be eternal. Because when I first read that, I went to 2 Peter, I think 3:10 or so, where he's talking about the very end. I think, oh yeah, this is talking about shaking the heaven and the earth at the very end, when everything is going to be over. We don't read anything about a rapture there. It may just come very suddenly. But then I looked a little bit into this a little bit more, and I realized I don't think that's what it's talking about. It's going back to a passage we just referred to this morning in Bible study. Haggai is the prophet that came to the people, to Ezekiel, and those two prophets, one of them Haggai, was speaking to Zerubbabel. And I want to read you a passage there, which is quite interesting, because that's where the writer from Hebrews got it from. And again, the word, and that's the last chapter, that's just two chapters in Haggai. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in 4:20 day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the earth, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Now we have to kind of dig into that a little bit, because Zerubbabel was the one who was building the temple, but he was also a direct descendant of King David, and that's why he was made the governor there. And he's also, when you go into Matthew, he's in the direct line of Jesus. And when Haggai is prophesying here that he was going to be the signet, it's really time when you read it in the Amplified, it's much clearer than what we just read here. He is really the one who kind of ushered in a whole new time 400 years before it actually came to be. It's talking about Jesus here. It's talking about the Messiah that was to come. And the shaking of heaven and earth is not something that's to come. When the writer of Hebrews is telling us that, it is about what happened when Jesus came. That's when the heavens got shook. And so, taking it a little bit out of context, what is God going to shake off in the people of God? It's maybe things that we allow to come into our lives that need to come off before he can come, before we're ready for when he comes, because it could be quite unsettling. And maybe we have to get ready. Maybe it's not something that it's just things are just going to go away and everything is the same as it was before. Maybe it will never change, really. It may actually just get worse. But that should not be something that causes us fear. And as we talked about this morning, things sometimes are there that are very uncomfortable. Sometimes we are challenged. And ultimately, we're not going to remain here forever. We're going to go somewhere. And in the process of getting there to heaven, some of the things may have to be shaken off. And I know in my life, I'm not quite there yet. I was very close back in January, back in a hospital. As you, some of you may know, we were here for 4 days, and I was looking forward to come to church. And instead of coming to church, we went to the emergency room or Manlius there. I got my antibiotics, went back to Florida, didn't work. Went to emergency room there, and from there I went right to the hospital. And if it wasn't for intravenous antibiotics and the doctors and whatever else that they did, I might not be here, safe of a miracle. And so when I, that was end of January, when we were talking about the virus and that was in the news, this was very, very alive in my mind, because I was there and I couldn't breathe. And no, I didn't have to go on a ventilator, but I needed oxygen. And so this whole thing really came out rather something that I was looking into intensely. But not to sidetrack myself, the process, the looking in what the scripture says in terms of what the time we live in, this passage here speaks to me. Because it tells us, you know what, we can try to fight maybe the virus, but it turns out it's not that easy. It's something that kind of escapes. And I was thinking about, you know, we have as a society and we as Christians probably were kind of lulled into this thing because we have started working with the Samaritans, if I can use that analogy here, allowed them to work with us, and in the process, we start thinking the same way. When there is a problem coming, are we going to fix it? Yeah, we're just going to fix it. We have enough insurance or whatever, we're going to take care of it. But it's actually not the Christian way. My first inclination should be to go what Joseph had did. My inclination is what our society does. Oh, let's fix it. If we have a virus, we're going to come up with a solution to take care of it. Maybe. Let's hope so. But it's not guaranteed. And when the society comes apart, there's no vaccine that you can use. The only vaccine will be a revival. How many people are ready for a revival? Again, we need to do the same as Jehoshaphat did, and just, you know, press on into finding what the Word says to us and what God says to us, and how are we going to move and negotiate what's coming down the road. And talking about shaking the heavens. That was just this morning. I was interested in where does how could I assure myself that the shaking of heaven is not to come, but it already happened. And I think it's in Revelations. Okay, just a second. I need to. Revelations 12. And the great dragon, that's in verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. To me, this is talking about when Jesus told his disciples, I saw the devil coming down to earth. That's when heaven was shaken. And we can take total confidence that he already took care of it. It's just up to us now to really walk in that faith and in that confidence. And in closing, I would like to read a prayer that was written by a man named Bob Russell for the occasion of the 4th of July, reflecting on the situation we're in today. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's just a part of it because I thought it was very appropriate. He says there, he titles it A Prayer of Desperation, similar to Jehoshaphat's there. Your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But also, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. So why should we be surprised that a national malaise has swept over the land? We scratch our heads in disbelief that our leaders not only lack godly wisdom, but seem to have lost all common sense. Looters are not prosecuted, and people who make innocent statements lose their jobs. We are stunned at how quickly our precious right to freedom of speech has been stripped away, and our church is closed. Our nation is in turmoil. We all know something is drastically wrong, but honestly don't know what to do about it. That's why we come to you, Lord. We have no place else to go. Would you hear the prayers of an unworthy remnant of your people who are together crying out to you? Humble us, heal us, unite us, revive us. We plead for dramatic movement of your spirit, like that mighty wind that parted the Red Sea and liberated the Israelites from a certain death. Would you once again provide a miraculous way out? We are so limited in our understanding that we can't imagine what needs to happen. But you, O Sovereign Lord, are omniscient and omnipotent. Nothing is impossible with you. You alone have the words of eternal life. So we cry out to you for the sake of our children and children's children to once again make us one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That was just part of what he wrote for, I think it was the Sunday, the 5th, after the 4th of July, realizing that I think we need revival more than ever before, as a nation, as individuals. I would like to close that.